Let's get our Bibles out tonight. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, 23. It's good to see Donna here tonight. God bless you, Donna. Good to see Kenda here tonight. Last time we saw her was in the hospital. And I'm glad that you're here tonight. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Amen. Say amen when you get there. Amen. All right. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, praise the Lord. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. I want to preach a little bit, minister tonight just a little bit, about keeping your heart. Keeping your heart. Amen. When you look into the Word of God, and I'm not going to be able to go through all of it here tonight, but when you look into the Word of God, there's an awful lot that the Bible talks about when it talks about the heart. Amen. Not that organ that's there on the inside of you, but it is talking about the center of you. The heart is the center. It's put in the center of your body. It is the center of your human person, the center of our human experience. And it is something that receives things. And it is also something that gives things. Praise the Lord. It receives and it gives. And it is the center of who we are. I want to have a heart that's right with God. Amen. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to worship, to come into the house of God, into the presence of the Lord. We ask you tonight, God, to speak to us, touch us, and encourage us in the work of God, in the Word of God, and we give you thanks and praise for it tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. Let's get into the Word of the Lord, and there's just something powerful about God's Word. When we talk about the heart is spoken of in Scripture as a very important part of the human experience. As I've already said, the heart is a repository of things that we put into it or that we allow to come into it from others. Amen. And we put it in through our senses, through the medium of the eyes, and through the ears and the nose and our senses, basically. And it comes to us that way. It can also come to us from, things that are without, other people or situations and circumstances. And the thing about the heart is that what goes into our heart is something that we have to allow to go into our hearts. There's a gate, amen. There is a gate that comes into the house and comes into the house of your heart. And we can leave the door shut or we can leave the door open, amen. And when we put things into the heart, when it is full, the Bible says it issues outward. Jesus spoke of that overflow. I spoke of it here a while back, and the overflow of the heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so there is an overflow. When the heart is full, it will begin to flow outward, and this could be in a negative way, or it could be in a very positive way. Amen. When we love God and we're full of God, our heart is full of love, then love is going to come out from us. Amen. If there is bitterness and it is full of bitterness, then bitterness will come out of us. And that is the job or the function, if you please, of our heart. And the Bible says that in the last days, the hearts of many will wax cold. Amen. That there will be many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and we know that love comes from the heart, and that because of the conditions of the world and the people of the world, that there are many, the Bible says, that will allow it, that will open the gate to their heart and allow that bitterness to come in, to allow an uncaring or unconcerned spirit to come into their heart, and it will be a sign of the end times. And so it's very important for us tonight to understand that our heart needs to be in the right condition, that the heart needs to be in the right place. Amen. And this uncaring and unconcerned will be the condition of the hearts of many people in the last days. Yet I believe in the midst of that kind of a situation, the Bible says, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. And so in the midst of a uncaring and unconcerned world, in the last days, there will be a church that's on fire for God. Amen. There will be a people who have a heart for God and a heart for others. Amen. And have taken the time with diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Amen. Taking the time to check out the condition of your heart. Amen. I had to do that here the other day and got on the treadmill and did all those things and whatever they want to do, you know. And when it's all said and done, I met with the doctor, and the doctor said there hadn't been any change, and praise God for that. Amen. And they check it out. And I think it's good when you get to a certain age, you need to get some things checked out. And I think when we're living for God, you ought to get some things checked out. Amen. Instead of just kind of walking along, not really thinking about a whole lot, there are times where we've got to stop. Amen. And we've got to examine some things, and we've got to think about some things. And we've got to honestly look at ourselves and say, where is my heart right now? And maybe it would be good to ask some close friends, hey, what do you see anything that I can't see? Amen. And that's why it's important that we are faithful to the house of God. Amen. Because through the preaching of the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the bone and the marrow and all of that. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. And so the Word of God gets down and examines our heart and can actually show us through the preaching of the Word of God where we are spiritually. Well, praise the Lord. And we know that in the Scriptures, Jesus talks about the different types of soil in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me today. Praise the Lord. Matthew, chapter 4, verse 3. And let's see here. And that's not the right Scripture. Well, praise the Lord. You can find it and read it this week. Jesus talked about the types of soil. Amen. And he said, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, the seed fell on wayside ground. Everybody said wayside. You know what? I think it's in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so in order for us to get the full understanding of this, what we need to see, first of all, is that the seed that the sower sowed is the word of God. And Jesus described this parable later on in the chapter, and you can read that. And he said, the seed is the word of God, and the ground is the hearts of people. Amen. And we know that because the scripture says that in the very first soil here, the wayside ground, the Bible tells us here in verse 15, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Praise God. And so when we hear the word of God, we sometimes, I think, get the idea that the word of God goes in our ears and then into our mind. But it doesn't. Amen. It does. There is an understanding. The good ground are they that hear the word of God and understood it. And so there is a mental receiving in the mind of the word of God. But the word of God goes right straight to the heart. Amen. That's why it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. And so I began to think about this, and I thought, you know, a lot of times we make excuses, and we say, well, there's only one good out of the four, and so there's going to be a lot more failure than there is success. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that you can take wayside ground and turn it into good ground. Praise the Lord. What is wayside ground? Wayside is a pathway. It is ground that has been walked on. Amen. It is ground that people just stepped on, didn't think about it. They just stepped on it and went their way. And this happened time and time and time again. This is really someone who is very hard. This is someone who is not trusting, a person that has been walked on, a person that has been done wrong over and over and over again. And yet, that does not mean that that is the end of the story. It just means that that is the condition of the heart at that particular point in time. I think probably all of us have been wayside ground at some point in our life. Well, praise the Lord. And you become bitter because somebody did you wrong. You had a spirit in your heart that was not right, and it maybe affected other things in your life. And that's just the way it happens sometimes. And we don't really understand it. We don't know why we do some things sometimes, but it is a natural reaction of the flesh. When things like that come, we become angry, or we reject other people, or whatever the situation is. And so in order to turn the wayside ground into good ground, there's got to be some prayer and some brokenness that takes place. Well, praise the Lord. And Hosea, I know you've probably been reading that in Hosea this week. Hosea 10 and verse 12, praise God. I'm sure you know exactly where it's at. It says this, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Praise God. All right, sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. And so what we must do is break up the fallow ground. What you've got to do is get a plow out, and you've got to tear up the soil. Amen. It can't stay the same way that it is, or it will never be productive. There's got to be a breaking of the ground. Amen. They have an implement in the agriculture. It's called a chipper. And it's for ground that is very, very hard. And it's just things that go down into the ground. It's not a plow, but it just chips and it breaks. and it just breaks it all up into big clods. And then they come through with a plow, or they come through with a disc, and they work that ground, and they work it and work it and work it until it becomes soft and pliable. And then it is able to receive the seed and to make a harvest. Amen. There are times in our life, and times maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't, and I thank God if you haven't, that there's got to be a time of prayer and brokenness. What does the Bible say about people that have been done wrong? You can read it in one of Peter's epistles. And he said that when we are done wrong, amen, and we take it patiently, this is acceptable in the eyes of God. Amen. Because we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. We are following after the pattern that he laid for us. And the scripture says, he who did no wrong suffered, amen, wrongfully. But he took it patiently, and he put it into the hands of God, just like Joseph did. Joseph put it into the hands of God, and it was because he had a heart that was right with God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know this isn't a whole lot of fun to talk about, but there are times that we must be broken and understand that we are not above our master. We are not above our Lord. Amen. And he was willing to do that. We should be willing to do that. Amen. He was willing to come and suffer, and not just suffer, but die on the cross. And I don't think there's very many that can say they did what he did. Amen. As far as the suffering and all of that. Amen. And so the Bible says that he gave us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Amen. Many take that to mean miracles, signs, and wonders. But you know what it means? A change of heart. A change of your heart inside. And if you're having difficulties in your life, you might be wayside ground, but there is a way to become good ground. And then he said there was stony ground. And the stony ground can be turned into good ground. Stony ground is the kind of ground, it's very shallow, it's not very deep at all, focuses on shallow things, very caught up in emotion more than caught up into thinking about things and actually making decisions based upon good counsel. Amen. It will just react. It will just get excited or upset, or tremendously happy, or tremendously sad, and very, very emotional. There is a way to become good ground if you're stony ground tonight. Amen. Those stones of pride, and God can take those out. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, praise God. Do you want to live a life where you're not offended by things? I'm telling you what, we need to fall in love with the Word of God. And when the Word of God is sown into our life, it goes right directly to the heart. Praise God. Amen. Who wants to live their life being offended all the time? Who wants to live their life being upset all the time? Amen. There is a way to change that, and it goes right straight back to the heart. Then to make the thorny ground, and the Bible says that it was the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and it became unfruitful. In other words, it was a condition of the heart in which there was a transfer of love. Amen. It was a transfer of love from God and the Word of God over to the things of this world, the cares of this world. Excuse me. The cares of this world. Well, I've got a lot of things to do. I've got this and that going on, you know, I'm working six jobs a day and just trying to keep the wolf away from the door, as they say. I've had people tell me, well, I'm just too busy, I can't make it to church. I've just got too many things going on in my life, I just can't be faithful to God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you tonight, you can turn that thorny ground into good ground. Amen. Because those thorns, they will become very aggressive. They have a way about them. I don't understand how it works, but if there is something, I've got a windmill in my house, and I planted some vines close to the windmill, which was a big mistake. And over the course of the years, I started out with a little vine about that big around, and now the base of that vine is that big around. And I mow the grass, and all of a sudden I see that 15 or 20 feet away from that vine, other ones are popping up out in the grass. And then I look, and it's climbing up the top of the windmill, and it's going to overcome the windmill. So I'm out there chopping and cutting, and it just keeps on coming back. Amen. There's a way to get rid of that, though. Amen. Cut it down. You got to cut it down, and you got to put some stuff in there, or dig around it and dig it out by the roots. Amen. It's going to take some work. This one is a very difficult one here, because it doesn't just have a big vine. Little vines come off, and they seek out things, and then they curl around them, and then they take off. And before you know it, they're sky high, and they're covering. I saw a building while we were gone, and the whole side of the building was covered with vines. And I thought, they better do something about that, or it's going to destroy the side of that building. It will actually get its roots down inside between the bricks, and it'll start popping concrete out. Before you know it, the bricks are going to be ruined, and you're going to still have to tear it down, but then you're going to have to fix the house on top of it. Amen. This is a heart condition. You know, Jesus said if you love the world, you can't love God at the same time. He said you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and the world at the same time. Amen. He called it mammon, and that was the love of money. Well, I don't think any of us have that problem, do we? Praise God. But the Bible tells us here that this is the thorny ground, and it choked the word. Amen. I'll tell you what we need. We need to just examine our heart today and ask ourselves, do we obey the greatest commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Deuteronomy 6:4. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Amen. And so we can change, and we can change from thorny ground to good ground. Amen. And do something for God in our lives. The heart is the recipient of the things that you and I put into it, or the things that other people put into it, that we open the gate and we allow in. Amen. I only want to allow into my heart good things. Some things are very difficult because they have tremendous power. Amen. The connections in this world that we have, the things that we love in this world, our family, our friends, and all of those things, they have a very strong pull upon our heart. But I'm telling you tonight, it is important, it is absolutely important that we keep our heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. It issues out from our heart. Amen. Our productivity, the blessings that are around us, our love for God, our love for others, the general blessing of life comes from the condition of the heart. Amen. And what we need to be is what Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why? Because God is pure. God is holy. Amen. And in order for us to be pure in heart, amen, then we must do an examination of our heart and see exactly where it's at, and then take whatever measure is necessary to fix the situation. And it can be fixed. You don't have to be bitter your whole life. Well, praise the Lord. You don't have to be upset your whole life. You don't have to forsake the Lord for the world. Amen. But there is a way to live for God victoriously from now to the end. Amen. And it is doing maintenance upon your heart. I thought about this, and I thought, what is the measure of the good ground? I think the measure of the good ground is someone who does maintenance on their heart. Praise the Lord. You see all these fields out here, and they've got the beautiful lines in them now, and the crops are starting to grow again. Just out our way, they planted soybeans, and we've got rows and rows of soybeans. You don't see any weeds. You don't see anything out in that field. And I don't know, but in my house, the weeds just pop up. How do they do it? Well, the way they do it is they maintenance it. Amen. They get out there with a tractor before they ever plow it, and they run that tractor over it, and then they wait a while. And when it starts to pop up again, they go out and do it again. And then you see them out there spraying the fields, and you see them out there fertilizing the fields. And they put a lot of effort into it before there is ever the planting of the seed. Amen. Because they know that good soil will produce a good harvest. But soil that's not good will not produce a harvest. We pastored in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And if you go by the fields, they grow corn every year. And the reason is because they feed their milk cows with the corn. And they also have the hay, the alfalfa that they raise for the cattle, and all of that. You can go out across the country out there because it gets so cold, they have what is known as frost heave. And the ground will get so cold it will be compressing, and it will literally pop the rocks out of the ground and up into the field. And from one season to another, a rock will appear. You drive around in that part of the country, out in the middle of the field, there's a big pile of rocks in every field. And I thought, what in the world? Are they growing rocks around here? And this is just the leftovers from the crop. But it's the frost heave. And if they didn't take care of it and maintenance it, it wouldn't be good ground. They'd be breaking their plows. They would be tearing up their disc because the rocks would be there. And so it's the same with you and I. You may live in that part and you've got that kind of maintenance to do. And over here you live in this part and there's another kind of maintenance to do. Amen. Down in New Mexico, on the Indian reservation, they have crops of alfalfa and crops of onions. And it's out in the middle of the desert. So you know what they did? They brought in water from the big reservoir. And it's like a river that flows down in there. And they use that for the soil. And they work it and they maintenance it. And they spend a lot of time to make it acceptable for the seed. Praise God. Amen. I've said it more and more as the time goes by. It's not about just coming and sitting and hearing messages. Well, praise God. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. We've got to have it, but we've got to do something with what we hear. We've got to apply this to our lives and be serious about going to heaven and stop and say, how does that apply to my heart? Is there something wrong with my heart? Is this message for me today? Praise God. I'm taking it personal. I'm taking it for myself. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And what we need to be is pure in heart, because there are many whose hearts are defiled, Scripture says. Amen. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. Amen. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Fred, get me Matthew 13:15. Brother Greg, give me Matthew 15 and verse 19. I want you men to help me here. Amen. But there is a place here. Matthew 13, 15. Read. Understand with their heart. Amen. This is not a college class here tonight. Amen. It's not earthly learning when we come to the house of God and hear preaching. But the heart is the place of spiritual understanding. Amen. And they've closed their eyes and they plug their ears. And they have sometimes they hold their nose. Amen. Because they don't want to see the real condition of their heart. Amen. But thank God when we open up our heart. Amen. When we open up our spirit. Praise God. There can be spiritual understanding, and that understanding is where we are in God. Matthew 15, 19. Read for us, Brother Greg. All right. That's what comes out of the heart. And so it's very important for us tonight to have good maintenance on the heart. Amen. One season and all of a sudden the rocks have been heaved up and I've got to do some maintenance. Amen. Now the winter has come and spring is here. And last year I had a good crop and now this year I've got weeds out there. Amen. Some people, they throw up their hands and they say it's not worth it. It's too much work. It's too much effort. But it's not too much work and it's not too much effort. But when you maintain a pure heart, amen, when you give maintenance to your heart, then and only then, amen, can we have a consistent harvest, a spiritual harvest in our lives. Praise God. And this heart controls the thoughts, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Amen. But I could also say tonight that out of the heart proceed good thoughts. It depends on what you have put into your heart. It depends on what you have been doing to maintenance your heart and to keep it in a good place. Amen. Let's look at a couple of other areas here. And here's a good thing that we can do to help ourselves. Amen. Romans 2 and verse 29. Praise God. Fred, get that for me tonight. And Brother Greg, get me Romans 10 and 10. And Brother Reed, get me Matthew 18 and verse 35. Let's look at the scripture here tonight. Romans 2, 29. All right. And so it's an inward thing. It's a heart thing. And Paul was telling the Jews here, or he was telling the Romans here, that circumcision in the Jewish faith was their acceptance of the law and acceptance of God. It was the thing that was required of them. But what it was the cutting away of the flesh. Amen. But Paul said it is not a matter of circumcision, of literal circumcision, but he said it is the circumcision of the heart. Amen. I believe tonight that in order for us to be free from some of those things that affect our heart, we've got to do surgery. Amen. We've got to let God do surgery and cut away that flesh. The flesh has all of those negative things. You can see it in the works of the flesh. Wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders. And the word murders there. Scripture says that if you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer. Idolatry is a work of the flesh. Amen. Stubbornness is as idolatry. Amen. Rebellion is as witchcraft. And these are not altogether spiritual things. They are the works of the flesh. Amen. And so what do we need to do? We need to cut it off. Praise God. And if you're reading about things that include rebellion, or if you read about things, that's why it's so important that we guard what our children read. You say, well, that's censorship. You're absolutely right. Amen. And we believe in that, don't we? Amen. We don't want our young men getting a hold of a pornographic magazine. You know why? Because it can affect their heart for the rest of their life. It can do something to them that will hurt them from now on. Amen. There's a godly thing and there's a good thing in marriage. Amen. But the things of the world are focused upon lust. Amen. And lust is a taking situation. It is not a giving situation. God so loved that He gave. Amen. And so if you're reading things that are not appropriate, then it's time to just get rid of it. That's why in the book of Acts, they gathered all the books together and they burned them. Because they understood that what we put into our mind affects our heart. And we can't afford to let our heart go by the wayside. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Romans 10 and 10. So the heart has the capacity to believe. And the heart believes unto righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness, if you take the first five letters there, it's the word right. Amen. To be right with God. To do what is right. The carrying out of doing what is right is righteousness. Amen. It is the act or the carrying out of righteousness. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And so when the heart is right, it's going to seek after righteousness. It's going to seek after doing what is right instead of just doing what it feels like doing. Instead of just letting the flesh or the heart say, you just need to get revenge. Amen. The righteousness, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What does the word say? Put your anger in a certain place. And the Lord says, for vengeance or revenge is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Praise God. I'd rather err on the side of mercy than I would on the side of judgment. Because the Bible says, for the measure that you measure out, it shall be measured back to you again. Praise the Lord. And if I think I've got it figured out, there's been times I thought I had it figured out, and when it was all said and done, I was 180 degrees out of what was right. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I was following my heart. Amen. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and no man knows his heart. But thank God when we get the Holy Ghost, He writes the laws on our heart, and He does surgery, spiritual surgery on our heart, and we don't want to do those old things anymore. Praise God. And we're doing our best to stay away from things that will lead us back into that again. Matthew 18 and verse 35. Oh my, that's one of the hardest verses in the Bible right there. Praise God. Amen. If you from your hearts do not forgive, you know, the ones that haven't done me too bad. Is that what it says? What does it say? Everyone his brother. Amen. Forgive from your heart. Praise God. I don't know about you, but there are times when I go to God in prayer. In the past, there have been times, and I'm sure in the future there will be opportunities as well. And you start praying and asking God this, that, or the other, talking to God, and all of a sudden, somebody comes up in front of you. And it's somebody that's done you wrong. Amen. You know what I've learned in prayer? I've learned that God is telling me, you know what? before you talk to me, why don't you get this thing straightened out? Praise God. And so I'll be praying along, and all of a sudden some person comes up in front of me that's done me wrong. And I'll just say, God, please forgive me if I have not forgiven that. I forgive that person. Lord, take it out of my heart. And I begin to pray for them, and then I'll ask God, God, would you forgive them for what they did? And just a total release from that person that's done me wrong. Amen. Oh, I tell you, this flesh loves revenge. This flesh loves to get even. Amen. This flesh loves all of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, it feels so good to be free from some of those things. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Don't have to worry when I'm in their presence. Amen. That I just got this stirred up feeling on the inside. Amen. I'm telling you what, God's going to figure it all out in the end, folks. We haven't been given the authority to figure it all out. Yes, there are some things that we can judge, and the Bible tells us and gives us that opportunity to judge and to take care of things. But you know what? I want to make sure I got it figured out. Praise God. I don't want to do it all on my own. But we must forgive from the heart. And so the heart is where forgiveness comes from. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Read for us, Fred. Amen. Let's see how fast he can get there. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Praise the Lord. All right, that your heart is not overcharged. Amen. You don't want your heart overflowing with these things. You don't want it filled up and overflowing with these things. With the cares of this world, what else? Surfeiting. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. That word surfeiting, I challenge you to look that up. Jesus talked about it, and it's very important. Amen. Surfeiting, drunkenness, amen. That's not for the child of God, because when we come into a state where we are drunk, we are actually giving over our flesh to every feeling, every emotion, every fleshly thing that is within us. And it's not the will of God. That's why the Bible says to be sober. And the word sober means no alcohol, period. That's what it means, literally. Because we don't want to give occasion to the flesh. What else was there? That was it. Amen. Well, we've got enough to work on tonight, don't we? Praise the Lord. Do you have anything to work on here tonight? Is there anybody that's got a pure heart here tonight? Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, we just got to maintenance it. It's not a matter of getting to this point and then that's it for the rest of your life. Because from season to season, things are going to come into the ground just by the nature of this world. Things are going to come along, situations, people, and all these kinds of things. And they will try to sow into your heart so that there will not be a harvest in your life. But I want a harvest in my life. Can we stand together tonight? Praise God. Praise God. We'll do our best to do a better job Sunday. I'm telling you, a whole week of getting to bed after midnight and going and going and going. Whew. It's so good to be home. It's so good to be home. I think I just want to sleep for a month. I don't think I will. Praise God. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Amen. I'm just so excited. Matthew got first place with his team in Bible quizzing. Amen. And we had a good junior camp. It was all really good. Amen. We're just excited about everything that's taken place and going on. Amen. God's been so good to us. Has God been good to you? Amen. Why don't you just lift your hand tonight and just tell Him how you feel about Him. Tell Him that you love Him more than you love anything else in all of this world. Oh God, put it in our heart today. Put it in our mind and in our spirit. Give us the joy of the Lord and the peace of God in our hearts. We give you thanks tonight. We give you thanks tonight. Lord, we give you thanks tonight. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.